American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. It is the 21st day of April 2005. And the gentlemen that you're hearing right now, Ed Waller and John Ainsworth, they're going to be regulars on this program on Thursdays. And what we're going to do is we're going to alternate Desi, Andrews, and you guys every other Thursday. And are you fellows amenable to that? Amiable to it?
We'll work that out one way or another, John.
Okay.
Yeah. I appreciate you offering that to us.
Not a problem. I mean, this is, you know, we keep talking about the problems, and the problems are worth talking about. We're under a federal siege and onslaught, that is for sure. We've seen our Constitution just totally shredded by the ascended king in George Bush. And it is important to cover the areas of which they're attacking, that is for sure. But I'm interested in the root causes of this so people become reacquainted with what their true form of government is supposed to be, the true role of the federal government, the true role of the state's governments. And that is the important issue. And then once people, then they can start to think for themselves. Well, wait a minute, this is the way it's supposed to be, and this is what it is right now. They can draw their own conclusions and make their own comparisons. And that's the point of doing this type of programming. Dave in Arkansas, anything else?
Well, you want to talk a little income tax for a second?
Yeah, go right ahead.
There's been no Internal Revenue districts under Internal Revenue Service administrative enforcement jurisdiction established in states of the Union under authority of 26 U.S. Code 7621 and Executive Order 10289 as amended. And we can look to 26 Code of Federal Regulations 301.7621-1. Therefore, IRS enforcement venue is restricted by 4 U.S. Code Section 72 and whatever specific statutory authority Congress has otherwise enacted to establish IRS venue. The parallel table of authorities and rules verifies that customs collection districts under administration of the U.S. Customs Service were established via 19 CFR Section 101 within states of the Union, but does not verify establishment of internal revenue districts otherwise. While the parallel table of authorities and rules is a finding aid that is prima facie correct, cumulative evidence in this so-called memorandum I'm reading from, and thanks to our great patriot Dan Metter, who was a good friend of mine.
All right.
And we could go on and on because this memorandum is only 41 pages long.
Well, Dave, you now have a contact point for John Ainsworth.
Oh, I sure do. And thanks so much. And looking to visit with you, John.
All right.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you again or talking to you again, Dave. You still interested in getting Arkansas reestablished?
Oh, sure.
Well, give me an email.
I will do her.
Okay. All right.
And thanks so much. God bless
you
all.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. We've got to go to break here in about 1 minute. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. And gentlemen, is there any particular thing that you would like to cover in any depth?
Oh, God, that's a loaded question.
Well, yeah, it is, and I have a tendency to do that.
Well, I mean, the fundamental issue is we are a conquered people, and all these problems we see they're doing with the money, with the bankruptcy, with all these things are a product of the conquest. And the issue is, does the federal government have authority to conquer states?
Well, I know one thing. The founding fathers, they gave us an out on this deal. They said that if the government ever turned against its people, well, you can disassociate yourself from that government. You can instill a new government, and if you need be, just move it out a little further west. The problem is we're flat out of real estate, but the concept is still the same. When the federal government stops doing what it's supposed to be doing constitutionally, we declare them null and void.
What doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cardivite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoons, but since Cardivite, that's all changed now. I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cardivite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cardivite.
We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, HeartDrop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite, it's a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And here with us this afternoon, Ed Waller and John Ainsworth. And we're talking about true history of this country, folks. And to try to make it clear for people to understand what they're seeing going on in the country today. We have federal judges in every state of the union. We have basically an occupation. And this is really scary because the balance of power in this country is designed to check one against the other, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches. But now we're seeing judicial federal tyranny from the benches in all the several states. And this is a bad thing because the next thing past the jury box, unfortunately, is the cartridge box. Now, gentlemen, I've said this before, that they are fully geared up to combat and put down any uprising in this country whatsoever. They're doing it right now for peaceful protesters. I mean, when it gets to the point where you can't even protest what's going on peaceably without being harassed or jailed or audited by the IRS or any number of other agencies that come out to try to eat out your resource or try to scare you off, that is not freedom anymore. And we have had an incident on September 11th, in my opinion, of 2001, that just gave them the green light to install their military-style in-your-face government. We call it, we like to call it police state or the tyranny in progress, whatever term that you would like to use. But education is the key. Spreading the word is the key. People are probably going to be joining in droves in a later date. Hopefully it will not be too late. But I do believe that we can change this, that we can change the system. We can unplug the matrix and plug in the new program, which is actually the old program. And sorry, Mr. Bush, we won't get fooled again.
John, you bring up September 11th, but, you know, it's a pattern. And people have to realize this. I've got some very good friends who still think Bush is a wonderful man, a great Christian, would never be involved in anything like 911. You know, Lincoln came in my belief, with every attempt to make sure this war got started. You've got the Maine. It is without a doubt well known that Roosevelt absolutely made sure we got into World War II. He sacrificed Pearl Harbor with foreknowledge, 1,800 men and women, to get us into World War II. Vietnam was a war for the military-industrial complex. You know, if you don't learn from your history and understand that when you don't do your civic duty, when you don't put the time into it, this is what happens. So if you don't wake up, if you don't exercise your rights, if you don't know what they are, if you don't know how the government's supposed to work, you really have no basis under which to complain. So here, we want a lot of complainers.
I agree.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Phil in Florida. Hello, Phil.
Hello, John. Hi. I want to go back to the causes of the Civil War. I got about three comments here. And my understanding was that prior to the outbreak of the war, the federal government had a 20% export tax on cotton from the South to Europe. And that they decided they wanted to raise that to 40%, and that's when the South started rebelling because they were disproportionately paying the federal budget. Now, if you can, your fellows can comment on that, they probably know more about this than I do, but that's my understanding of it.
Well,
one of the causes
that the war, the causes of the war is very similar to what are the causes of the average divorce. One side might say one thing, one side might say another. The issue is they weren't getting along, and there were a multitude of issues. The southern states did not leave for light and transient causes, which is the wording of the Declaration of Independence. They had cause. Now, and not every state left for the same reason. To give you an example of that, the state of North Carolina, where I'm from, held a convention on whether they were going to secede in, I think it was either February or March of 1861. And North Carolina voted to stay in the Union. We were going to stay in the Union. But when the Secretary of War contacted the governor of North Carolina, John Ellis, several days after Fort Sumter was fired upon, North Carolina was not part of the Confederacy when Fort Sumter was fired on, and said that we were required to give two regiments of troops to put down this rebellion. Well, North Carolina left saying that we will not be part of a union based on coercion. And so we left after saying we were going to stay in only because the federal government took the position that there was going to be a war and the federal government was going to invade some of these southern, the deep south states. And at this time, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, and Arkansas, those four states were still in the Union. So different states left for different reasons. So to try to lump this in and say there was this cause or that cause, the issue was they weren't getting along.
All right. I've also read that the war was fomented by Rothschild trying to gain control of the of our money supply, which they eventually did in 1913. Also, that the assassinations were orchestrated by Rothschild interests agents. And another thing, part of this imposition of the hate of the Yankee government against the South, those Yankees were senators and that brought in the Reconstruction. They were the communists of today. They hate, they love to kill. That was what was behind them. But they put an embargo on everything leaving the South, going north on the railroads. And it wasn't until 1947 or 48 down here in Florida when the dang embargo was finally lifted. In other words, it had to pay an extra freight rate in order to get something from the South to the North. If it cost $5 a ton to send it from Yankee land down here, it cost like $7.50 to send our produce from here up to Yankee land. That's actually
well. Again, we try to stay away from the conspiracies. Okay, because
you can't stay away from conspiracy because that's how everything runs.
Well, but you can deal with the absolute facts, the recorded history of what happened, and show that it was unconstitutional, it was illogical, it was a usurpation.
Now, yeah, I understand
all of those things. But
Bill, I happen to agree with him because. You know,
I don't care, John. It's all the result of conspiracy. Everything that happens in government is conspiracy.
I understand, Phil, but let me speak here, okay, because it is
Go
my
ahead.
Show. Thank you. Phil, the reason I have a tendency to agree with him is because in the press for the last 10 to 15 years, what we have been called are conspiracy theorists. Now, I have happened to be in agreement with you, Phil, by saying, yeah, that I do believe it was a concerted effort and an ongoing conspiracy to subjugate this country and to do and arrive at where we're at today. I will not disagree with that. But I have a tendency to stick, as these gentlemen do, stick with the facts and then prove the case and let them draw their own conclusions, whether it was a conspiracy or not. The here and now is what's important. And the problem is trying to crawl over this massive mechanism we have out there, calling us all wingnuts and conspiracy theorists. No, it's fact.
Well, did you see the article, John, 2 days ago? It hit MSNBC. It hit the news wires about the extreme right still being fomenting of terror and violence against the government.
Oh, absolutely. We've gone from being anti-government, anti-social, disenfranchised, snaggletooth beer suckers, whatever, to now an extremely dangerous and up to and including potential terrorist against this nation.
So we would prefer to say, let's stay with the law. Let's stay well within the bounds of what is absolutely provable, because there's enough stuff there. The normal American should be able to relate when it's put in the right context. Not only that, it's something you can take into a court of law and say, we have legitimate grievances against this government that we want to see rectified.
And as it draws down, gentlemen, I don't want to spend an inordinate amount of time of my time, experience, and or money combating those that I know that are going to be coming out of the woodwork, calling us all conspiracy theorists, more than anti-government, terrorist, and everything else. I want to bypass that whole argument and get right down to the meat of the problem, because everybody knows there's a problem. Just everybody wants to pigeonhole this thing, and I don't believe that's the right way to go.
Let me simplify this by asking two questions. Does the Constitution of the United States grant the federal government authority to conquer states and subjugate their citizens?
It does have provisions to put down civil unrest.
If it's called for by the governor of the state. But do they have authority? You have to remember, what is conquest? Conquest is not the putting down of a rebellion, someone against legitimate authority. Conquest has to deal with two sovereigns, to where one sovereign conquers another.
And we'll pick that up after the break. Phil, just hang on a second. We had to put you on hold there. Doug, Roger, and others will get to your calls right after this break. Our guests today, Ed Waller and John Ainsworth, will be right back.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Dano Cafe? Dano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Dano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
I like that better question.
Kind of Limbaugh-esque, isn't it? I really like that bumper music. I'm going to have to play that more often. Let's confuse people. A diddlehead will tune in and think that he's listening to Rush Limbaugh, and then all of a sudden he hears something he's never heard before. The unbridled truth. What a concept here in America. Phil in Florida, we put you on hold there for a minute. I hope you understand my point about stressing the conspiracy point of view, because we're on an uphill battle with people with billions of dollars in which to try to shout us down with any number of phony talking heads to the contrary.
Well, of course, I understand that. It just that it seems to me so obvious as the nose on my face that everything having to do with government that goes wrong, from our point of view, is result of a conspiracy.
We don't disagree. The point is, though, you're not going to go into the congressional record and see where it says, well, I met with some stooges man, and he told me to wipe out the monetary system and take over the government, whether it be Rothschild or whatever. But you can go into the congressional record and see the purpose of the war, and see where they changed the purpose of the war, and see that the Constitution says you can't coerce an amendment. And to me personally, I don't recognize West Virginia, because it wasn't done unconstitutionally. You know, stand on the law and you'll win friends. If you try to blame it on conspiracies, I think you're just going to lose your audience.
Well, there's not much of an audience down here anyhow. Practically all wall-to-wall Yankees.
That's because we turned it into a retirement center.
Boy, ain't that the damn
and then truth. We brought in the Haitians and then the Cubans just to mess that all up.
Yeah, it's something else down here.
Yeah, it is. I'm familiar with Florida.
I almost lost my train of thought there. In fact, I guess I did lose it. I've got it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just hold on there and get your thoughts back together, and we'll bring you back. All right. So
you all go ahead and talk, and I'll try to regain that.
All right. In the meantime, let's go to Doug in Texas. Hello, Doug.
How you doing, John?
Good.
Listen, you and your listeners may want to get a pencil and pen, because I'm going to give information about a book in just a second. There's a friend of mine from Europe that knows my passion for, you know, stopping the federal government, all the issues related to what your show's all about and everything. And he recently made me aware of a book, and thank God I picked it up on Amazon for just $2.95, because it was put out in 97, and it was put out by a very important man, and why he's important I'll share with you in a minute. But the name of the book is The Sovereign Individual, okay? And what the premise of this whole book is that the nation state is, as we know it now, the federal nation states, actually around the world, are going to completely disintegrate within the next 20 years, 15 to 20 years, okay? And he gives such clear evidence of why that's true that it's hard to doubt, okay? And that the sovereign individual is going to be what we're all wanting to have happen is going to happen anyway. Now, why it's important is this man and a co-writer have written...
Well, let me understand the concept of what you're saying. He's saying that the globalization project is going to fall apart.
Yeah, and the reasons why.
Okay,
I'm all for that. And let me just share with you the reason I'm taking notice of this. Him and the individual that wrote this book, okay, have written three books, one every decade, one in 77, one in 87, and one in 97. The first book, and they're predicting things that were going to happen over the next couple of decades in each book. The first one was ended up being 87% accurate. The second one in 87 ended up being 92% accurate. And this one, things are already starting to take place that was put out in 97. Now, the reason I'm paying attention to this guy is because he's Lord William Rees Moogg. That's Rees-Moogg. And he is the head of one of the Rothschild family's investment companies. And it's a kind of a highbrow book. It's not something that everybody would read. But he goes back and finds historically a couple of PhDs that, and the whole premise of everything that he recommends to the Rothschild family about changing the world comes off of something that they call the, what the heck is the term? It's something of conflict. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, it's all based on conflict and the options are related to conflict and everything. And there's a term that he uses, and he's constantly explaining that terms based on historic things that happened in the past that relate to what's going to happen as history repeats itself.
Well, I do know this. I do know this. If George Bush, which is now the ringleader, certainly not the founder of the Free Trade Area of Americas movement, but I do know this. If the Free Trade Area of Americas is not a done deal, and rather quickly, there is enough resistance. The Europeans are now starting to figure out how they've been... How they've been done in. If they do not get the counterpart and the counterbalance or the mirror image to the EU here pretty quickly, I can see where the European Union falling apart. I can see that myself.
Well, he gets into the much deeper theories that you have to read the book. There's no time for us to really give it all to you now. And it's the logic. The term I was looking for was the logic of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other related things. But it's so well written. And the analogy that he's going through right now that I'm reading in here is literally about how the church, okay, in the 15th century literally disintegrated, and the reasons that they're not disintegrated, but it took a big fall in power, and the reasons that it did, and it's so absolutely mirror to what's going on with the attitudes of the people related to the governments and everything.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Doug. I'll let you make your final comments after the break. Phil, you hang on there. Get your thoughts together. Roger, BL, and others will get to your calls also.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sangian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contax experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH, and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger, and much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, Doug, any other points you'd like to make?
It's just any of your listeners that are really interested in a historical perspective by one of the leading minds in the world that, you know, works for one of the richest families in the world as a top advisor about what's going to happen and how dangerous the times are going to be the next 10 years and how to stay out of the way of the most dangerous situations and protect your family and your assets during the process and have the historical perspective of why we're going to be there and solid proof. And he's got a track record of being accurate that's just astounding.
Well, I'm a little confused here. He's, on one hand, writing books about the sovereign individual, but yet he is giving advice to one of the controllers?
Yeah, I know. It's interesting read is all I can tell you, and it's just so full of I'm just astounded by what I'm reading. I think everybody that's you know, loves freedom and loves sovereignty ought to read this book.
What's the individual's name?
It's Lord William Rees Moog, and the last name is spelled Rees-Moogg. Best part is you can pick it up as a used book because it came out in 97 on Amazon for like $2.95 plus shipping.
All righty.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Yeah, we got a lot of good information out of Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope. That read like War and Peace. but it was dry. But he was one of the insiders in the latest generations of the coup d'etat people and the New World Orderites. There was a lot of good information out, and in the history. I mean, he was a mentor to Bill Clinton. I think at what was it, Georgetown University? I do believe it was. Phil in Florida. Go ahead, sir.
I got it together.
All right.
kudos to your guests there for their hard work and so forth. But my question to them, how do they expect to get anywhere in these crooked courts with honesty, you know, honest material?
Good question.
That's a very good question. I mean, I can talk to you out of experience. The issue is status. What is your status and whose court is that? I'm going to go back to the question I just asked John a little bit ago, and that is, does the Constitution grant the federal government authority to conquer states and subjugate their citizens? And the answer is no. And conquest is war. A title of conquest, these are the words of Andrew Johnson in his veto of the Reconstruction Act. A title of conquest stands on clear ground. It's a new title acquired by war. So does Congress, does the federal government have authority to wage war with states when they are supposed to be, you know, the servant of the states? And Article 3, Section 3 says that treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, the several states. So we've got huge issues. Well, what we did here in North Carolina was we said, there are two states of North Carolina that entered the American Union. One is the 12th state under the Constitution of the United States of America, and one is about the 34th state on June 25th, 1868, as a new state that entered the American Union. That's historical. You can look it up in the World Book. It's real easy to find. And so it's a matter of which state do I recognize as legitimate? And by all law, and all government of right, it says all government of right originates from the people. Well, was this new state that's in place now called the state of North Carolina, with its courts, was it put into place by the consent of the people? Or was it put into place by the principle of conquest, where the title of the state transferred over to the federal government, and they repopulated this state, they depopulated it with of state citizens and repopulated it with federal citizens? So, I want to be a state citizen. Can I be a state citizen of a conquered territory composed totally of federal citizens, where you have to swear an oath of allegiance when you participate in that government that you are a U.S. citizen subject to its laws? So, going back, I do not recognize this state as a legitimate state. The reason we don't have lawful government is the people won't exercise it. Well, we decided to exercise lawful government in 1997 by reestablishing the original Constitution of North Carolina, which was put aside by Reconstruction, saying we had a right to do that. And the reason there is no lawful government is the people aren't exercising it. And so we go into court and we challenge jurisdiction, no matter what issue it is. There's a North Carolina Supreme Court case that says once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be proven by the prosecution as a prerequisite for the authority of the court to enter a judgment. So we say if you are a legitimate state and a legitimate jurisdiction, we challenge that. And by the way, here's 200 to 300 pages of historical documentation which shows you're not legitimate, even by your own constitution. Now, we've won every case with the exception of one using this method. And when I say won the case, it's hard to say. They just dismissed the charges. And these are charges of driving without licenses, driving with revoked licenses, running red lights, things of this nature, speeding tickets.
But that's important also because that's how the corporation helps fund its coffers.
Right. But there is a movement in this country to not be a U.S. citizen. People are saying, I'm not a U.S. citizen, but I'm a citizen of the state that's existing there. Or, you know, I'm a citizen of the state of Nevada, or I'm a citizen of the state of New York. Well, if you say you're a citizen of that state, then you are a federal citizen. The issue is we've got to go back and pick up these constitutions that were put into abeyance by the federal government and repopulate the original constitutions.
Well, in Article 14, Section 1, it says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside.
Well,
now they say, they go on to say, hold on a second, they go on to say that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection under the laws. But the way I'm seeing this, they're saying no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge those privileges. We call them rights. But
that's privileges.
Federal
citizens only have privileges. They don't have rights. Rights are only for the state citizens.
You make a fatal flaw when you strike from the 14th Amendment as if it were legitimate. The issue is that creation, that new status, the federal government has no authority to conquer state citizens and make them federal citizens. You can look in constitutional law books all over, and they're going to tell you that the origin and character of American citizenship was reversed by the 14th Amendment. So the character of American citizenship, which is the characteristics of American citizenship, was changed by this thing. So the issue is they take the step before that and say, well, the 14th Amendment was coerced. It is not a valid amendment. This U.S. citizenship is not a valid status. Everything written in that document is not valid. And so we have to quit looking at these usurpations, these laws they put into place, as if they are valid, and then trying to work our way out of it.
All right. Bill, thanks for your call. I appreciate it very much. Let's move on. We've got loaded lines here, and I want to keep this moving along. Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Thanks, gentlemen, and I'd like to ask you and the listeners both to grab for their pencils quickly to scratch down some awful numbers that begin to put an appropriately ugly face on our trade and finance policies. I just heard this a few days ago. And while you're doing that, could I ask your guest to explain my surmise that we actually have as many as two or three different doctrines of incorporation, which there may not be actually much overlap. I mean, they're all awful, but we had the Supreme's invention out of the 14th, the doctrine of incorporation there, whereby the infamous New Jersey elevator operators case, where everything is somehow can be called interstate commerce, and then we have the 1932-ish, three-ish doctrine where we're now rolled under this debt servitude, et cetera. Would you care to?
We could do 2 hours on this topic.
Well, hopefully you can do it in 2 minutes. But
well, the issue is again, the fundamental change. The 14th Amendment incorporates this doctrine of equality, where everyone's equal. And it sounds really great. But how is this played out? Well, it's played out by saying, well, you can't pray in schools. Because if everyone's equal and you have a Muslim sitting beside a Christian who's sitting beside a Wiccan who's sitting beside an atheist, and you're praying to a Christian God, well, it's going to make these other people feel unequal, like they don't hold the same status as you, that the American state is for Christians and not equal for everyone. And so you start seeing prayer in school being kicked out. Then you start seeing this equality doctrine put in place for, you know, pregnant women who want an abortion. That, because the Roe versus Wade was overturned as a violation of the 14th Amendment, the equality under the 14th Amendment.
So you're saying without that 14th Amendment, we would never have had that decision, Roe v. Wade, and we would not have 50 million plus
right.
innocents dead in this country right now.
If people will email me, I will. I've already downloaded Roe v. Wade, Stone versus Graham, Lawrence versus Texas, Murray versus Collette, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Every one of those cases, which have taken the Ten Commandments out, the
prayer in school out, what struck down the homosexual laws, Lawrence versus Texas, are all based on violations of the 14th Amendment. This amendment is hideous.
But my thinking was that while the 14th is certainly fraudulent in its ratification, it may not be so much objectionable at base as it is what has been feloniously, falsely piled, invented on top of it.
No, but that's the point, is it was in the original intent to do this. We can actually show it. And it was intended to make the people of the states equal to corporations. That was also testified to later. So you can't let, you know, the camel's nose get under the tent, because once you do, you have to understand you have to buy into Reconstruction, the power for the federal government to conquer the states, the power to coerce a constitutional amendment. The whole thing comes into play.
Yeah, and I could certainly agree that that was the intent, but the text itself takes some real divining to read that out of if one wasn't aware of all these other things.
But the guys who helped write it later testified before the Supreme Court and said, remember, it is the intent of the legislation which carries the day, not the words. And they went and got the intent, which was to basically make us all equal, in this case slaves, to take away constitutional rights. Supreme Court has ruled that 14th Amendment did not include the Bill of Rights. Therefore, you don't have them if you're a 14th Amendment citizen.
And another example of this is James G. Blaine. He was one of the radical Republicans in Congress who was there for the passage of the 14th Amendment, a lifetime politician. He wrote his autobiography, 20 Years of Congress, 1861 to 1881, and he clearly said that the 14th Amendment rid this nation of that pestilent heresy called states' rights. That's an exact quote from a man who wrote or helped to pass that amendment. It rid this nation of the pestilent heresy called states' rights. In his book, he also says the 14th Amendment reversed the origin and character of American citizenship. I mean, all these things are said by the people who were the players in their own books. And this book was published in 1884, and I've got an original of it. And you start reading what these people were doing, and they were creating a nation. We were a union of sovereign states, or demi-sovereign states. We could not wage war. We couldn't print our own money. But we were sovereign in our borders. And it made a nation to where we all are one. We all are subject to Washington. Just like North Carolina can't pass legislation of what the citizens of Texas can do, is the way it used to be. But now the federal government, as soon as one state does one thing, let's say homosexual marriages, then all of a sudden every state has to do it because everyone's U.S. citizens. As soon as one state passes it and they test it and they say, hey, under the equality doctrine of the 14th Amendment, we have a right to have, you know, same-sex unions, then you're going to see it go. And the 14th Amendment, every word of it, every intention of it is hideous and heinous. And vile.
You know what scares me the most is when we have supposedly people that want freedom and liberty, and they want it all. They want the right to abort for a matter of convenience. They want to marry their own sex because they want to. You know, with little or no regard to the one unit in this country, you know, forgive the one constant that has to be here, and that's the family. And that has been assaulted all over the place. But it scares me that I sit down and I talk to some people that are fairly knowledgeable people, and they'll sit there and look at me and say, well, so what? You know, if I'm really a free, sovereign individual, I should be able to do anything that I want to with my own body, that nobody should be able to tell me what I can or cannot do, whether it be by case law or whatever. Now, This has been weighing heavily on my mind for the last several months, because I've talked to many people. And gentlemen, what we're trying to do here, by the way, we're going to forego the last break, so callers, don't hang up. We'll continue with the calls here. But I wanted to make this point, because I know you two understand this, that there has been since we've had the split in this country, we have what we call liberals, or they think of themselves as being progressive, and these are the people that that think that they have greater freedom because of Roe v. Wade and it's okay to kill babies now or whatever the case may be, homosexual marriages, whatever it is. And what I see, rather than setting a standard and saying, look, this is why things worked as well as they did, we need to return to that. What I see are supposedly people that want to return to those freedom and liberty days under a true constitution in this country. I'm seeing them now bringing in people that don't hold these same views, and then somehow we're going to have this big conflab, and we're going to have some kind of agreement. What I am scared to death of, when we come out of the end of that, what are we going to have? I don't. You know, it's not within my nature to sit down at the fireside and have chats with my enemy. He's already been in the gate. He's already stolen the food. He's already plopped himself down next to me at my fireside, at my campsite, without my permission. And I'm supposed to deal with these people. How am I supposed to deal with it? This is what bothers me, folks. And gentlemen, this is what's been bothering me for the last 6 months. I've been hearing more and more that we've got to reach out, we've got to expand. And even liberals or progressives, you know, they're not happy either. Well, comments?
Well,
oh, go ahead.
Well, I've got plenty of comments. But, yeah, the concept is you have to have a people with a common belief system. And by fracturing the system, where you allow more and more belief systems, then no longer do you have a government that represents the people. They want, and they're always going to represent some segment of society. This nation was founded upon a common belief system. This nation was founded upon Christian principles.
Ah, therein lies the rub, the common belief principle. Now we've got half the people, look, and my prime example of that is Judge Roy Moore. Poll after poll after poll, this country was divided right down the middle. Half of them said, yes, the commandment should stay, and the other half said, no, the separation of church and state, thanks to our card-carrying ACLU communist friends in 1961, came up with this little ditty. But my point is that half of the country, we don't have anything in common with the other half anymore.
Well, we have. Yes, we do. We have. Well, you're right. But that's by design.
Oh, I understand.
It's exactly by design. The more aliens you bring over, the more people, more communists you bring over, the more socialists you bring over from, you know, Central America, South America, Europe, Asia, take your pick, the more fractured society is and the more need for a powerful government. As long as you don't have people who are on the same page, then you have the need for a powerful government.
Is that why George Bush has, under his tenure and under Bill Clinton, have allowed some 30 million illegals into this country?
Absolutely. It's a destabilization. And the issue is, here's how they play this against us.
Okay, so let me just interject one more thought. Are they then not, by destabilizing this government, this country, aren't they guilty of treason? Would they be guilty of treason?
Well, treason consists only in levying war against the several states.
Okay.
Okay, which they've already done. Okay, they've conquered them. So now it's an issue of just maintaining destabilization to maintain their need, the necessity of the federal government. It's really self-preservation for the federal government. We have to have them to control the 30 million aliens that are in this country.
Yeah, and John, I've told you that my belief is they are setting us up for a world war with China. Doesn't take rocket science to see what's going on there. And they need all these people in here to capitalize what they're doing until that happens.
Well, and the one thing that upset me is we're actually fueling the economic and militaristic power of China. And the United States is almost wholly and solely doing this and building the next boogeyman. I mean, did we not learn from the Cold War with Russia? Now what we're doing is arming another group of communists that are avowed haters of us. And what we're doing, they're happy to take our money. And things are pretty much on an even keel. Sometimes they get out of kilter every now and then, Taiwan being a big issue. But as long as they're getting the money to help build their military complex and modernize it and expand it, they're happy as all get out. You know, I when I saw the free trade area, or I'm sorry, the most favored nation status and allowing China into the United Nations, I said, that's it. You know, here's our next boogeyman. Here is the people that we're literally building to come against us.
John, what is the fundamental function of government?
To afford protections.
Of who?
Of the people in the several states.
The people who organize it? Is that what this government is doing?
Supposedly.
No, by what you're stating. Are they there? Is opening our borders up to 30 million illegal immigrants, does that guarantee and secure the rights of the citizens of Texas and North Carolina and Georgia?
Not any more than running huge trade deficits and running,
right. Well, you're going to find, there's going to be more and more and more. It doesn't end.
Right.
Is they have abdicated their role as guaranteeing and securing the rights of the people to where they secure the rights of everyone.
All right.
And they will pit illegal aliens against native-born Americans. And say, everyone's equal here.
Yeah, because
you can't do anything. It's, wait a second.
Yeah.
The function here is you should be getting rid of illegal aliens rather than granting them immunity.
Because these 30 million illegals right now, they're all for George Bush because he's trying to give them amnesty any which way he can. So they're
and
going to be for
him.
Look
what happened in 1866, 1867 when they freed the blacks. It was a Republican deal. This was the carpetbaggers. It was a political move to make them all Republicans. And that is a historical fact.
And isn't it amazing that most of them are now left-leaning liberals? I'll tell you what, I've got to make one announcement here, and then we'll continue with the calls. We're almost out of time in this segment. Jimmy Vaughn, we're having a deal down here, folks. AustinTollParty.com, we're going to build a war chest in which to finally put this draconian privatization, I guess, project that you can, if you want to call it that. We're going to bury it where it deserves to be buried. I don't know if you can still get tickets online. You can go to GetTix, GETTIX.net, or you can call. I don't know if anybody's over at the office, but I do know that you can buy tickets down at the Doubletree Hotel for tonight's extravaganza. This is going to be fun. Jimmy Vaughn, a Grammy Award winner. Also, James Cotton, another Grammy Award winner, a blues harpist. John Emery Band, Bruce Jones, and other special guests. He put out a long laundry list of invited guests, and I hope they all show up. We're going to have city council people there. We're going to have Texas comptrollers. All these people are against this draconian toll road thing, which is the blueprint for the rest of the country. So we've got to stick the stake in this vampire's heart down here. BL in Texas. Hello, BL. We're running out of time, so be quick.
I'm impressed with the knowledge and accomplishments of your learned guests and the callers. Like Gary Allen, who gave me my wake-up call in 71, I cannot subscribe to accidental history. And regardless of what labels we put on it, it's conspiracy or whatever, what I'd really like to know is how are we going to get legitimate redress of grievances, however valid, when we cannot get access to a common law court? And how are we going to fight a war with China when China has our manufacturing base transferred to them?
BL, you're going to have to hold that thought until the next time these fine gentlemen are on this program. That'll be two Thursdays from now. And we've got to say goodbye to them today, Ed Waller and John Ainsworth. It's been enlightening, gentlemen. You're well-rounded, well-versed, and you speak very well of what you know, and I appreciate you being on this program. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, that'll do it for us today, folks. Get down there to the hotel, the Doubletree, tonight. We'll be there.
Connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with
others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.